You know what's getting a bigger reaction than anything I do? That naked picture of Gritty that I posted on Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Check it out. A lot of people are. It's getting a lot of hearts. While I have Instagram open, I hadn't planned on doing this one, but I just saw The Daily Show posted a picture of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo with the caption, "I'm not going to resign." Part of this is that I'm not part of the political club. And you know what? I'm proud of it. Trevor Noah said, "Andrew Cuomo has never been part of the political club. And if you disagree, you can drive your ass out of New York on the bridge they named after his governor dad." Yeah, if you're not from around here, there's a bridge. It's called the was called the Tappan Zee, and they replaced it with the new Mario Cuomo Bridge. Yeah, you're not a political guy at all, Andrew Cuomo. Okay, so the late night shows. Let's start with the silly, then we'll get serious. Catching up on some St. Patrick's Day jokes. Jimmy Fallon, that sounds like an Irish name, said, "Hey, I wanted to wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, instead of Pfizer and Moderna, people just stayed home and did shots of Jameson. That's a great joke." Trevor Noah said, "St. Patrick's Day, it's the day Irish people say, 'Kiss me, I'm Irish.' And people say, 'No, you're not, Governor Cuomo. Stop that.' That is a great joke." Colbert, "It's a big day for me since I'm Irish. I'm a Colbert, I'm a Tuck, I'm a Fee, I'm a Conley, I'm a Tormey, I'm an O'Neill. In fact, I scored 100% on Rotten Potatoes." Heck. Colbert, "Because of the pandemic, St. Patrick's Day was very different this year. For instance, in New York, they couldn't hold the normal parade. They just had a small one to keep the tradition technically alive and to ensure no crowds would show up. Organizers invited Bill de Blasio." He's the mayor of New York. He's not popular. That's a good joke. Jimmy Fallon, "All day on St. Patrick's Day, we got to play a fun game. Drunk coworker or bad Zoom connection?" Fallon again, "St. Patrick's Day during COVID was pretty strange. You've got to stay 6 feet apart, or as Irish dads call it, hugging." And Jimmy Fallon, "My question is it really St. Patrick's Day if you can't watch a guy in Fifth Avenue puke into a green hat at 8 a.m., you know? I mean, are we really celebrating when I can't see a subway grate blow a kilt over a man's head?" Switching gears, the late night host got very serious about the shootings in Atlanta. Trevor Noah in particular said, "What's been sad about the story is not just the loss of life, but all of the auxiliary things that have been happening around the story. You know, like one of the first things that's been the most frustrating for me is seeing the shooter say, 'Ah, it wasn't racism, it was sex addiction.' First of all, F you, man. You killed 6 Asian people. Specifically, you went there. If there's anyone who's racist, it's a bleep who killed 6 Asian women. Your murder speaks louder than your words. And you know, in a way, what makes it even more painful is that we saw it coming. We see these things happening. People have been warning. People in the Asian community have been tweeting saying, 'Please help us. We're getting punched in the street. We're getting slurs written on our doors. We're getting people coming up to us say, hey, thanks for COVID. Thanks for spoiling the world. Thanks.' We're seeing this happening, and while we're fighting for it, a lot of people have just been like, 'Oh, stop being so woke, some dramatic, kung flu, come on, ha ha ha, it's just a joke.' Yeah, it's a joke that comes at one of the most tense times in human history." That's Trevor Noah. He continued, "Why are people so invested in solving the symptoms instead of the cause? America does this time and time again, a country that wants to fight the symptoms and not the underlying conditions that cause those symptoms to take effect. Racism, misogyny, gun violence, mental illness, and honestly, this incident might have been all those things combined, because it doesn't have to be one thing on its own. America is a rich tapestry of mass shooting motivations." Stephen Colbert said, "The only answer that comes to mind is a simple but strangely difficult one these days, and that's to not hate each other. To recognize our common humanity, to acknowledge that we're a nation of immigrants, we might believe different things, we might not look the same, but we're all Americans, we share a common belief that all men are created equal, and it's that belief itself that makes people want to come here." James Corden said, "When you think about the casual racism that's been persuasive, then we can start to see the link between language and action. There are real consequences to repeatedly hearing hateful speech. People get hurt and people die. This mass murder is the product of a system that repeatedly leaves women of color and sex workers in a place where they are invisible. They are vulnerable and targeted. Identifying these actions as a hate crime isn't just about semantics, and because this is a hate crime, it falls on all of us to address the hate." Serious stuff from the late night host there. No easy way to segue, so I'll just jump in the pool. Forbes caught up with Mark Norman, who talked about when Jerry Seinfeld asked Mark to open for him. For Mark, the gig served as a crash course in how comedians at the top operate. Mark Norman said, "Jerry's got to meditate and he's got a structured life. He has to write this much a day. He has to exercise this much. He's very meticulous about how he wants his gigs. Some people give him crap like, 'He's such a stickler.' And I'm like, yeah, but it's his show. Do you want to do it or not? You have to go by his rules." Mark said it gave him anxiety because he was attempting not to come on too strong. It's a nightmare. I'm grateful just for the fact that I have his phone number. That's bananas. We texted a little yesterday. I want to keep the conversation going because you get the dopamine rushes just from seeing his name on your phone. It's unreal. So you want to keep it going, but you don't want to annoy him. And then you also think, well, I kept it going with a friend. I should treat him like a normal person. Is he a normal person or is he a level up? It's a constant battle. Mark couldn't sleep the night before opening for Jerry at New York's Beacon Theater a year ago. Mark said, the crowd was weirdly confused, and I think I made a joke about how I'm going to get fired. It was a nightmare, but he was as cool as hell. He's a great guy. He's a normal guy. That's what the most striking part about him was, how normal and humble he is. You're like, oh, this is some dude from Long Island who likes baseball and cars. He couldn't be more down to earth. Last year, Mark opened for Jerry at the Beacon Theater. He was supposed to do 15 minutes, but he went about a minute short and walked off stage, but he didn't see Jerry, so he panicked and ran back out and did a couple more jokes. Mark said, the crowd was really confused, and I think I made a joke about how I'm going to get fired. It was a nightmare, but Jerry was cool as hell. He's a great guy. He's a normal guy. That was the most striking part about him, was how normal and humble and real he is. You're like, ah, this is some dude from Long Island who likes baseball and cars. He couldn't be more down to earth. Jerry was displeased and told Mark to never, ever go back out on stage after leaving the stage. He wasn't mean about it, but any belittling from that guy, and you're like, oh, my life is over. I got to the mountaintop and I blew it. Mark wanted to keep his own career momentum going, so he put his latest special, Out to Lunch, on YouTube 2 months into the pandemic. He said, it was a huge failure. I was trying to sell this hour. I've been doing this hour on the road for years. I'd go back to Denver and people would come back and see me and go, you know, we saw this same exact hour basically a year ago. And you kind of go, yeah, this is getting embarrassing. So I said, all right, let's try to sell it to Netflix, HBO, Amazon, whatever. I'm not famous. I got no juice. So no one bought it. And I said, I bet if we make it, I bet if we shoot it ourselves looking good, digital 4K, lighting, color correct, they'll buy it because we did the heavy lifting and they still didn't buy it. So I said, hey, it came out pretty good. Let's put it on YouTube. And I was bummed. I went all the way in on YouTube, like, let's make a trail. Let's promote it. They're not going to buy it. So it's all me now. And it actually went pretty well looking back. Glad I did it myself. Glad I own it. Look, making a couple hundred thousand on Netflix would be exciting, and obviously I haven't made that, but I own it. I can chop it up. I can share it easily. I have this underdog kind of vibe to it, so when people feel like they discovered me or whatever it is, it kind of worked out in the end. From the Laugh Button, it's been over 15 years since we last saw King of the Hill, but that wait might be over. Brent Forrester was a writer on the show. He was doing a Reddit AMA. He was asked whether or not the show would come back, and he said, I'm sure Greg Daniels and Mike Judge will murder me for sharing this, but hell yes, they're in hot negotiations to bring back King of the Hill. The Trump administration made it suddenly very relevant again. The characters have all aged 15 years. The project is so good. Okay, I've said too much. All right, so King of the Hill clearly exists, but Bob's Burgers does not exist. Again, I'll ask you two questions. Have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? No. Have you ever met anyone who has seen Bob's Burgers? No. So when I wrote today's podcast, I thought it was a little short, and now I'm seeing it's much longer than I thought. So I have like a whole bunch of things here I could do. I don't know if I should tell you how to submit your stuff to Comedy Pro or if I should tell you what Wayne Brady's up to. I guess Wayne Brady could wait a day. All right, so let's do the Comedy Pro submissions. This from Just for Laughs, a.k.a. Montreal Comedy Festival, July 28th to the 31st this year. They say, we're searching for the funniest short films from around the world to showcase in Eat My Shorts during the festival. The top films will be screened from July 26th to the 31st, voted by a jury of programming experts, blah, blah, blah. Top three films will be announced at the screening. So if you want to submit to that, it's films@hahaha.com. The website is comedypro.hahaha.com/submissions. They're also looking for Stand Up and Pitch 2021, the comedy content search. They invite you, the comics, writers, creators, and producers on the cutting edge of comedy, to submit your long-form series ideas for a chance to present your series ideas to a panel of industry experts, blah, blah, blah. Industry@hahaha.com if you want to do that. One more, Stand Up and Pitch 2021, the comedy content search, Beyond the Box, Playing It Short. They invite you, again, the comics, writers, creators, and producers, to submit your short-form ideas. Same idea there. Industry@hahaha.com. It's a great festival. If you are a creative, you should submit to that. I've got a couple of recommendations for you. I was bouncing around the YouTube last night, and I started watching another episode of Hanging with Dr. Z. That is the talk show hosted by Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes, sort of, as the joke. Patton Oswalt was the guest. Pretty good. I was entertained. My son sent me a link to a trailer for Community the Movie. Relax, it's a fan trailer, but it's so well done. You want to search for Community the Movie 2021 trailer. Whoever put this together did a fantastic job. The plot would be that Troy comes home and he sees everybody's changed. But what's great about the trailer is whoever did all this work found more modern clips of the cast of Community. So everybody's aged up a little. So you're not seeing Annie at 20, you're seeing Annie at 30 or however old Allison Brie is right now. So everybody looks like they would in 2021, and it's well cut. And I was like, oh, I want to see this someday. Six seasons in a movie. I guess this is the spot in the show where I should plug Comedy's Top Dog. If you recall, Dave Chappelle was out to a huge lead over John Mulaney, the three-time defending champion. High Yellow Moon, first-time voter. Welcome, High Yellow Moon. Also voted for Chappelle. The Frothcast, I don't know if I mentioned them yesterday, but hi, Frothcast. Chappelle just crushing this thing. I think we know who will win. I will, as always, tell you on Monday's episode who is the winner of Comedy's Top Dog, but I think we know. From BayNews9.com, your home for comedy news, William Shatner. He's 89 years old, and he's in a new movie. I firmly believe if you keep doing stuff, you live longer. And William Shatner clearly agrees he can't need the money. But William Shatner is starring in Senior Moments. He plays Victor, a retired NASA test pilot whose driver's license gets taken away from him after he's found speeding in his vintage Porsche with his best friend, Sal, who's played by Christopher Lloyd. I mean, do you not want to see that? Plus, Trekkies, they're reuniting, right? First time together since Star Trek 3, huh? Maybe they've been together since, but they were in Star Trek 3 together. I digress. Victor's life changes as he finds himself trying to get around by riding the bus, spurring his meeting with the beautiful free spirit Caroline, played by Jean Smart. Sounds like a nice little film. It is called Senior Moment. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple. Oh, I didn't try and get a coffee out of you. If you like what I do, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. This one's almost empty. It's got like one sip left. Catch you tomorrow.